Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. The trial of three Kansas men who allegedly plotted to bomb a housing complex of Somali refugees is now coming to a close. After 6 weeks in the courtroom, the case is now with jurors who began deliberating yesterday afternoon. Ryan Riley is senior justice reporter for HuffPost. He's been covering the trial in Wichita, Kansas.
The government says that this was a lot more than just talk, that there was extensive planning that was going on into this, that individuals, you know, ordered parts online to make this bomb, and that one of the individuals who they sort of consider the ringleader actually met with an undercover sort of FBI officer who was pretending to be someone who could provide them with weapons and materials and was actually plotting to get this bomb to them, and that, you know, Patrick Stein, this ringleader, had suggested maybe trading some drugs for this bomb that they would build, and talked about how much, you know, they didn't have that much money, but they had, you know, a lot of will and determination, and thought that this individual was on the same page as them about his hatred for Muslims.
So talk about the makeup of the jury, how they were selected, and who the 12 people are who have taken this case now.
Yeah, well, the jury is mostly white. I think there's one individual there who sort of identified as half Native American. And in the jury selection process, we had one individual who, the sole African American on the final panel, was actually the daughter of refugees. And it seemed like that was probably the reason that the defense used to sort of kick her off there, that, you know, they would say it was for non-racial minds. We don't know that because that has sort of happened up at the bench in a private setting. But what we do know is that, you know, this is a case where essentially the defense is arguing that, you know, this was just a lot of locker room talk. And this was just a lot of, you know, sort of these guys who were extreme and said some bigoted things and some terrible things. And the defense is, you know, acknowledged that and taken the position. But they say that this is government overreach and, you know, that a lot of these words were protected by the First Amendment and that, you know, they were just blowing off steam in a lot of ways.
Locker room talk. But jurors in this case, Ryan, according to your reporting, it seems to acquit these men or at least have reasonable doubt, would have to believe that these three men would not have even pursued this plot if not for the encouragement and the direction of undercover government agents, and that the news environment and incendiary statements around President Trump sort of spurred what they were doing.
Yeah, you know, the lead defendant here, Patrick Stein, his lawyer sort of laid out this idea, not of fake news, but of chaos news, and was saying that there was so much heat around the presidential election that his client sort of got spurred up and into this because of all this news that he was reading online. You know, he believed that Hillary was going to start confiscating weapons when she was elected president. He believed that President Obama might not leave office and might declare martial law. He believed that cities in America had already been taken over by Muslims and that, you know, they could be coming for his town soon. And that was essentially what he had believed at the time. So that's the sort of environment that his defense says that he was operating in. But, you know, they took a lot of proactive steps that take this case in a lot of ways beyond just words. There is this manifesto that they came up with, essentially, that warned people who might be dealing with Muslims that they were potentially targets too. They wrote, quote, "If you have anything to do with a sellout of this country, a government official, a landlord of illegal immigrants, your homes, your business, and your families are at risk. You have been warned." So this is some pretty extreme language and some pretty extreme plotting that was going into this situation. The question I guess jurors have to face is whether or not they believe that essentially the government overstepped here, because there's not really a lot of dispute about what exactly the defendant said.
Ryan, if they're convicted, these three men, what are they facing?
If they're convicted of the main charge, which is a weapons of mass destruction charge, they could be sentenced to spend the rest of their lives behind bars.
Ryan Riley, senior justice reporter for HuffPost in Wichita. Ryan, thanks again.
Sure. Thanks for having me.